from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. 5 DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, 877-881-1053, Frankel and Frankel. Injury attorneys text line. If you want to get involved in the conversation, you can also hit us up on the YouTube, on the Twitch. We're going to play a highlight right here because ever since he came back from injury, this, or for the most part, this player, cut number 3, has absolutely been on fire.
2 balls, 2 strikes. The set, the pitch. Langford swings and belts one. Deep left field. Back goes Melendez. That ball is history. A grand slam for Wyatt Langford. The first of his career and the first grand slam by a Ranger this year. He puts the Rangers on easy street. It's 6-0.
Now, when we talked about the struggles of, the Rangers offense, obviously Evan Carter is still out. He's hurt. But Wyatt Langford has been a big part of the discussion just because I think so many of us expected so much of him coming into the regular season. And you look on Friday night, Wyatt Langford became the first Ranger this season with multiple hits and multiple RBIs in back-to-back games. And then guess what? On Saturday, he did it again to make it 3 straight. And then on Sunday, you had to settle for only 1 RBI and 1 hit. But, I mean, this is somebody who was in an RBI desert. There was no power to be found. And now this month, 2 home runs, 18 RBIs with an OPS of 876. You have seen a dramatic change. Compare that to the shortened May he had where his OPS was 286.
When was the last time he DH'd?
I don't know.
Okay.
I've brought that up.
Yeah, I mean, he's
so playing. You guys think that's it?
Well, there right? is. I mean, I look back at Robbie Grossman. Player. Mike, last year, Robbie Grossman.
DHs aren't really baseball.
Was
players.
DHing, and he wasn't hitting well. And then Jonah Heim gets hurt, and Robbie Grossman goes on a tear because he's catching. And everybody's like, whoa. Then he found his groove as the DH for the rest of the year.
You're talking about Garver?
Mitch Garver. Mitch Garver.
Robbie Grossman obviously was a key contributor last year, too. But when you brought up catcher, I was like.
I kind of keep them in the same. Yeah.
Mitch Garver hit like an all-star when he caught last year.
By the way, last time he DH'd.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. They're right there together is one of the reasons. I don't know if we're asking the reason that it's happening or just.
I think you could talk about the
excitement
reason.
Of the fact that it actually is happening right now. I think that's the big thing. He's gotten some comfort in the league. He's starting to find his swing. He's starting to find, he's starting to learn how to study pitchers better right now, too. So there's a lot of things that are coming together at the same time.
So during the series, sorry, I'm drawing a blank. They just played Kansas City. Who did they play right before that in the series?
The Mets.
The Mets. So I was in the dugout and Wyatt Lankford was getting ready for batting practice, and Eric Nadell had a quick conversation with Wyatt Lankford. Wyatt Lankford is not big on having conversations. He's just getting, he wants to do his work and kind of.
Oh, we're aware.
And so Eric Nadell stops him and he says, hey, because the next day he was going to play center field. So everybody kind of knew that he's going to play center field tomorrow. And so Eric Nadell stops him and he goes, hey, Wyatt, hey, if you played center field a lot in your life? He's like, 4 or 5 times. And he's like, really? With your speed and everything, you didn't play center field? He's like, I've only played outfield for 2 years. We have to remember.
Wow. Yeah.
When he went to Florida, he was a catcher. And then at Florida, they changed him to an outfielder, and he didn't play his freshman year. He wasn't good enough to play on Florida's team as a freshman. And then his sophomore year, he took off and exploded as a outfielder. And then he played outfield his junior year, and the Rangers drafted him. And then he played a little bit of outfield for in the minor leagues. And then this year he's played outfield. So this is his third year to play outfield in his life.
He did have a weird, even in left field the other night, he had that weird, he didn't quite judge it right.
He's learning.
Yeah.
The thing about in his life, he hasn't even played outfield. He's been a catcher. Like in high school, he was a catcher. And so he's learning how to play the outfield. But at the same time, he's so talented when it comes to his gifts of speed that he's learning how to play the outfield. But I think it helps that he's not, you know, you can call it a DH. He's also, you're just an extra hitter. You're just coming up there to hit, and then you go back to the dugout and you watch a baseball game. So you're not, I'm not trying to knock DHs. Otani's a DH, but you're not really a baseball player when you're just hitting every third inning, sometimes every second inning type of deal. So I do think that his improvement is, he talked about it. One is he went and watched his tape at Florida. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but he went back and
I'm listening.
They're like, all right, so what's going on? Like, well, let's go back to when you're successful. Let me watch successful at bats. Let me watch what when I was dominating this world, where was it? It was at the University of Florida. And then I guess you could go back to last year in the minor leagues. But he's like, let me go back to how I looked at Florida, what my at-bats looked like at Florida. And he's like, that has helped too, is going back and watching my successful at-bats at Florida. And so that has helped. I think playing in the field has helped tremendously. So he's engaged in the whole baseball game rather than just thinking about, hey, I had my at bat in the second inning. I'm going to get another at bat probably in the fourth or fifth inning. Let me, you're not thinking about the game. You're only thinking about your at bat. But when you're in the game, you can contribute in other ways, and you have to stay engaged in the game because you have to position yourself correctly before this at bat. And then if the ball's hit into the outfield or the ball's hit to shortstop, you have to back up that play. The ball's hit into the right field corner, you have to jog over and back up the play. Like, you're engaged in the whole game, not just in your only way to contribute will be your 3 to 4 at bats today. So I think that's helped out. By the way, to add to your stats that you had, where he has a .310 batting average this month, he has an .876 OPS this month. Wyatt Lankford right now is batting .252 with a .733 OPS.
Is that good?
At the end, yeah, I'll take it. Okay. At the end of the month of May, he had a .222 batting average and a .573 OPS. So on May 31st, he had a .222 batting average. He's now at .252. He's raised that 30 points from the end of May till, you know, June 23rd? Is that today's date?
It's the 24th.
24th, sorry. Today's the 24th. And a .573 OPS, which is now a .682. Like, that is so a huge improvement. OPS climbed
more than 100 points. Man, that is pretty astonishing.
Yeah, and now the question I ask you guys, fair or unfair, do you think for the rest of the season, taking out April, I guess you can take March into it too, taking out the first 2 months, though, of the baseball season, where he was a .222 hitter with an under 600 OPS, do you think, I'm going to put a high standard on it, and then we can change it. Do you think, because he's batting .310 this month with an .876 OPS, do you think he can bat a 300 or better the rest of the season? And then do you think he can have an OPS? I'll make this a lot lower. An 800 or better OPS the rest of the season?
I think he's got a better shot at OPS because I think the pop is going to start to show up more and more than I do the batting average. But I hope this counts as an answer to your question, Mike. I think he'll be significantly closer to these numbers than the struggle numbers.
I like what Kevin's saying because I hope the pop does arrive and stay and stick around. But we've not seen a full season of Wyatt Langford have a up and down. You know, like, is he Joey Gallo where he has a hot stretch and that's it? Or is he Mr. Consistent? And you're just like, oh, wow, you know pretty much you're going to get a hit out of him most nights. Well, it depends on what kind of hit. So I'm going to wait. And you're asking me if I'm thinking it's project. I don't know. But I think he will have a more pop throughout the rest of the season because he's gonna feel that a little bit and be like, hey, I'm hunting that pitch now to go put someone over the fence again.
And I think he really can because I was going back and looking kind of at the scouting scale because I was like, it's not just us who were thinking, man, this kid's gonna be a stud. So if you go off the scouting scale, which is usually, is it 20 to 80?
Yes.
Right? Okay. So 20 to 80. Wyatt Langford, and I'll give you some examples if people are like, what the hell does that mean? Wyatt Langford was graded out as having 70 power. To compare that, here's other 70 tools. And that means that tool is plus plus. If you get to 80, you're like, holy crap.
You're Aaron Judge power.
Exactly. So 70 is kind of equivalent to Freddie Freeman's hitting ability, Blake Snell's curveball, or Ronald Acuna Jr.'s arm. So you're talking about like really, really plus plus right there. And so I think that's why you're finally starting to tap into it. And then Bruce Bochy said another thing, and you were just talking about when he went back and looked at his film from Florida. I think this is a reset that probably it did happen. And he goes, he got a little break, gave him a chance to look at some tape, get some at-bats in AAA. He came back up here and he is a different player.
Now this
perspective is everything, man.
We're looking at Wyatt Langford. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of people that are premium prospects like him. Tonight, if you're watching some of the Ranger game, I get it, right? There's A&M, there's game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. And so I look at it and I go, all right, Jackson Churio got a huge contract in the offseason at 20 years old. The Milwaukee Brewers are not a high revenue team, so they wanted to do a let's lock in. You'd have to look up the number, but I think he got like an 8-year contract.
Yeah, I think that is right.
And so Jackson Churio, going into the month of June, 210 batting average, oof, 581 OPS. In the month of June, he has a 294 batting average with an 821 OPS.
Oh, it's just not too far off of Wyatt. Yeah.
At the end of May last year, I've brought this up before, but it's been a while. I'll bring it up again. Gunnar Henderson, who might win the MVP this year. Okay. Him and right now it's Aaron Judge probably going to win it and Gunnar Henderson going to finish in second right
Bobby
now.
Bobby Witt had a tough weekend.
He did, you know, and so I would say, but those two right now are your two contenders for AL MVP. Last year, Gunnar Henderson won Rookie of the Year. On May 31st, he was batting 201 with a 702 OPS. So his OPS was much higher than Wyatt Langford or Jackson Churio, who you'll see tonight at 20 years old. In the month of June, he hit 320 with a 994 OPS. Do you see the improvement that Gunnar Henderson had at the end of May? He's batting 201, okay, with a 702 OPS. At the end of June, he's hitting 240 with a 797 OPS. So he improves his batting average 39 points. And you can just see the improvement by the end of the year. As I scroll up, he hit 255 with an 814 OPS. So he improved his OPS over 100 points. He improved his batting average 54 points. And you look at what Wyatt Langford is doing. And I will say this now for Wyatt Langford. He's batting 252 right now. I think at the end of the year, he will have a batting average of 250 or better.
Okay.
So I think he's going to keep that above two. Now, it might dip to 240 at one point this year. Like, I can see that. But I think at the end of the year, Wyatt Langford is going to hit over 250. I think at the end of the year, right now, I need to pull him back up. Right now, he has a 682 OPS. I think at the end of the year, his OPS will be over 730.
Wow. Okay. I'm fine with that. I'm perfectly fine with that out of this year.
Absolutely.
And I'm giving you Jackson Churio, who is having a similar year. Mm-hmm. And now he's 20, and Wyatt Langford's 22. Obviously, different path to the Major League Baseball, as Churio was a 16-year-old, you know, signee. Where,
and he just turned 20 now.
Right. Yeah. So I just think that we're seeing a little bit of the way baseball's going, Corey, is this, hey, we're sending guys up maybe quicker than they should go up. And we're seeing major struggles, Jackson Holliday being one. And then we're seeing Churio and Wyatt Langford being two others this year. Well, Gunnar Henderson maybe wasn't ready for Major League Baseball to start 2023. But by the end of 2023, he was super ready to be a great player.
And, I mean, honestly, the way the Rangers season is playing out right now, you're going to want him to be at his best at the end of the season, right? Like, that's what you're going to want for... And that's where my next phase of this is, okay, so how is he affecting the lineup and how can he best impact the lineup?
Okay, I'm glad that you said that, because is there some level of comfort with... Like, you're batting six right now. I realize that can vary some, but what's the level of comfort that comes along with you're batting sixth or seventh, as opposed to, hey, welcome to the show, you're batting third?
Yeah, that probably, you know, the Rangers, I don't know if they've said, we probably shouldn't have done that, but probably shouldn't have done that. And look, I probably shouldn't have said he's going to compete for the MVP. But at the end of the year, Gunnar Henderson did compete for, he had the third best WAR in the American League behind Seager and Semien. I think it was Semien Seager in that order when it came to WAR because of defense and stuff. But I think that let's keep him at six the rest of the way. I get there might be a game or two, but if Josh Jung is coming back here soon, this probably isn't fair to Josh Jung. Put him batting third. And then you have Adolis Garcia, who you might need to move down in the lineup a little bit, but maybe Josh Smith bats fourth. And then you have Adolis Garcia bat fifth, and then you have Nate Lowe, and you have Wyatt Langford, and you have Jonah Heim filling in the 6-7-8 role, and then you have, I don't know, is Leody going to stay in the lineup on an everyday basis? Because if I have Josh Smith in left field, where do I have Wyatt Langford? I don't want to move Wyatt Langford back to DH. This is my personal opinion. I'm not running the Texas Rangers. I'm not their general manager. I'm not an assistant general manager, and I'm not their manager. But I don't want to move Wyatt Langford back to a continuous designated hitter. I do think that could hurt him offensively.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out who our DH is going to be, Kevin, honestly.
From the 945, hopefully they accept this answer. Please explain OPS in a quick way.
Oh, sorry.
On-base percentage plus slugging.
That's quick.
Coming up next, a segment that was developed during our pre-show. Can you force a sport on the public and get them to like it? And is that happening right now? That and Mike Likes It as we move into the expressway on 105 Through the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. All right. Got the expressway right here, all content, no breaks. And we're going to start off with a conversation that we had a very spirited discussion about it this morning. And essentially, and then Mike, I'll turn it over to you. The question is, can you force a sport on the public and get them to like it? And is that what is happening right now?
So I don't know if it's going to work, but I think for the first time ever in WNBA history, they are forcing it on us tremendously. I think it's been forced a little, but not to this extent. And look, ESPN has hired, and I don't know, I'm going to guess five women who played in the WNBA or playing in the WNBA. Like, they are on their broadcast in the morning.
Yeah.
Talking usually NBA. A little bit of NFL football. But they are now force-feeding out of, let's say, a one-hour morning show. They are force-feeding us 15 to 20 minutes of WNBA basketball. And so I had the question on that you just asked is, I don't know, is this going to work? It won't work on me, but will it work on people that are less, like, will 2 years from now people really be watching WNBA basketball?
Okay.
Folks that have, like, less rigidly against, yeah, I guess, like, for lack of a better term.
I've tried watching it. I'm not going to watch it.
Tell everybody, it's because, just to boil it down, and correct me if I'm wrong here, you believe it is an inferior product. Is that correct?
Super inferior to the NBA.
Okay.
It's slower. The when you watch it, the highlights are awesome. But when you watch a game, to me, my opinion, only my opinion, obviously a lot of people would, not a lot, but some people would disagree that it is a great product. I watch it and go, it's a horrible product.
Okay. Go ahead.
As far as product goes, I don't have a scale on what I think it is right now, but somebody believed in it. And Kevin, I brought this up to you last week a little bit in our discussion. I actually had to come back the next day and have more of the discussion with you. I was watching Wrexham, Mike, and they bought their girls' team as well. They have the women's team as well. And Ally Bank came to McElhinney and said, we want to invest in this because we want to invest in women's sports. And Rob McElhinney was like, why do you want to do this? And they said, because this is a pursuit that, I mean, we think can be a business that can be successful that's not being taken advantage of right now. And I think for, like, ESPN, if you feel like that's being forced, I think they are partners with them. They do have a contract with them. And I think they're saying, how do we capitalize on, A, what the Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese did in college? How do we capitalize on that? And we talked about that with the president of the Dallas Wings, too. Does the WNBA recognize what's happening? He said, absolutely. And I think ESPN's looking at it saying, how do we maximize the profit we can get out of this while also seeing that we're still underpaying for this? Now, maybe they're not underpaying for it. Maybe that money isn't invested the proper way. But I think they're trying to say we need to make sure that our investment gets something out of it right now. And that's why I believe they're pushing it so much. They're trying to create an excitement for it.
Okay. And I get that for sure. Somebody texted this in. And I really want to know if this is the case. From the 682, I asked for a link and everything. WNBA isn't being forced, in my opinion. My friend and his wife are coming into town in August, and all his wife wants to do is to go to the Wings Aces game. Until this year, she only cared about the Seahawks and didn't watch other sports. The Black and South Asian community are watching WNBA over MLB and NHL by a mile. And I just asked if you have a breakdown of that, because if that's the case, then I'm definitely interested in that, and I want to discuss that aspect of it. Is it, like, broken down along potentially racial lines, the interest level?
Who did they say are watching it more?
Black people and South Asians. And that's why I said,
South Asian mean not Korea and not Japan?
I believe so, because that's baseball
dominated.
Be,
I guess, China, because
South Asian would be more, I mean, Indian, Sri Lankan, in that area, okay, I believe, if I'm correct.
And so I just want to know more information about it, because, look, I will admit, I'm not a huge WNBA fan, but I'm also just interested in, where the numbers tell you to go, right? Like, where do the money, where do the ratings, where does that tell you where to go? Because we talk about this all the time. We talk about what we want to talk about, and we've been really lucky that people have followed us along the way.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I want to have great ratings. And if I'm not saying this is the case at all, but if we got to the point where this city was so wings crazy, you had to talk about it, you're damn right I would talk about it because I want us to have good ratings.
I was kind of surprised this morning whenever I was kind of looking around trying to figure out some of the things that have gone up. And Kevin, over 700% increase in merchandise sales.
Woo!
And over 335% increase in subscriptions to League Pass. Which, Kevin, you said...
I did not know that they had their own arm of the league.
And so that's interesting. But I also don't know if that number was like 200 people before and 60 jerseys sold.
Sure.
And it's just like, hey, like the numbers are big. But I do go back to, just like you said, it did hit with Caitlin Clark. And somebody recognized, oh, she's about to be available to our league. And how do we... I mean, every circus promoter knows... Whenever you have something like that, you strike while it's hot. And they did. I mean, we watched the Von Erich movie, right? And
sure.
How much of wrestling promotion can you apply to all sports promotion across the world?
Yeah.
That mindset of...
You have an attraction.
Yes, exactly. And that is the attraction right now. And what's happening is you have some really talented players that people are trying to pick and choose and say, this is the one I want to follow, whether it be... Clark, Angel Reese, Cameron Brink, or the veteran players that have been around for a while. Maybe they're learning more about that.
Okay, I'm going to throw something out there. And again, Mike, I'm sorry. I'm going to throw numbers out to back up what I believe that you are kind of on board
with. Yeah, and just real quick, I think preseason football's trash too. So the NFL preseason, I think, is a load of trash too because those are... Let's just say the top 3%
right.
of football players in the world or 2%, but it's trash compared to the top 1% that you get to watch in regular season.
Now, you talked about how much revenue had been going up in terms of League Pass and in terms of merchandising. Yeah. Now, let's just talk about total revenue for the league. Total revenue from the league jumped from $60 million in 2022. This is per Statista. Good wrestler and actor.
Mm-hmm.
And then it jumped up to $200 million in 2023. I think the issue where, Mike, you've noticed there's disparity in the coverage, that is approximately 1/58th of the amount of revenue, 1/58th of the revenue that baseball brought in last year, and approximately 1/50th of the revenue that the NBA brought in last year. But... You turn to the national shows, which I have to admit, I usually don't pay attention to. I know a lot of folks do. You turn to the national shows, and Is that where you think the forcing down your throat's coming?
Yeah. If you go to ESPN in the morning, you will see WNBA highlights. Now, obviously, they concentrated tremendously. The reason we're doing this segment today is they concentrated tremendously on Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese facing each other.
Yes.
And the game before that with those two set a 23-year record high rating for the WNBA.
Which when the NBA had its highest interest, right, was when they had a rivalry that they could pin their series around, right?
Right. They're hoping Magic and Larry. This sure. is their Magic yeah. and Larry, which transforms the WNBA into a watchable product. But if you just today on the morning shows on ESPN, they didn't cover 1 second of baseball. Not 1 second. Yeah, there are 40,000 people at the Ranger game yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
There was 4,200 people at the Wings game. Now, I get they didn't cover the Wings game on. I just had to look that up. Now, it was a sellout for the Caitlin Clark game with Angel Reese. But you just look at that and you go, now, wait a second. So you had 120,000 people go to the Ranger game for this 3-game series, 120,000 tickets sold. And you had how many tickets sold for... Now, that one was sold. You can't buy any more tickets if they're not available because all the seats are sold. And same thing for the Rangers. They pretty much sold out all 3 games against the Royals. But it's just... It's interesting to me that because ESPN, for example, they decided to fire every baseball person they had. Like, they literally fired every baseball analyst they had. They're all gone. They don't have any more. They have writers that are writing for ESPN that they'll pop on every once in a while. But they hired approximately, I'm saying approximately, it could be more or less five WNBA basketball players to talk on these morning shows. So they're like, I know the WNBA. I play in it or played in it, and I have no clue what baseball is. So I can't, do not put a baseball highlight on. I have no clue what it is. Stephen A. Smith has no clue what a baseball highlight is. Shannon Sharp has no clue what a baseball highlight is. They don't even know how it works. So they're going to struggle. So they're like, just don't put it on. Yet, $11.6 billion to what was the number for WNBA?
$200 million.
$200 million to $11.6 billion generated in revenue last year for these sports. But I just looked up Frisco to see how many people went to the Midland Frisco game yesterday. A little over 2,000 people. So it is more. The WNBA Washington, D.C. Wings game had 4,200 people to 2,000 people at a double-A baseball game yesterday. So, I mean, you could look at it and say, well, they're generating a lot more buzz than a double-A baseball game, I guess. But, I mean, it's not a whole bunch more. And yet it's now being covered like it's the greatest thing in the world. And I'm wondering is 2 to 3 years from now, will it matter at all? Will we see more and more growth in the WNBA, or will we go back to we tried, but it's just going to be 4,000 to 5,000 people at a normal WNBA basketball game?
I am, Reggie, I don't know where you fall about that last point in particular, but I am very fascinated to see the rookie class in general, and obviously Caitlin Clark leading the way, what the sustainability of that is, and if it's based on their success at all, their stats at all, going forward.
Mike, I think you did a good job of framing like how you came to this topic, but I think the framework might be a little bit flawed here, and you can disagree with me freely. I think we're talking about the morning shows that are largely narrative-based, and you laid it out, right? The reason why they're talking about this is not just the WNBA in general, although they do bring it up. It is that particular matchup that you had, and I think someone on the text line is pointing out something, is that ESPN does have MLB shows specifically. Now, do they invest in it in a huge way? I don't know necessarily. That it doesn't exist for the WNBA. And so I don't know that I necessarily agree with the idea of, like, or at least the framework of forcing necessarily. I think that they're gatekeepers, right? Like, this is what ESPN has tried to be. But I think a lot of media companies is that they are going to try and be gatekeepers and tastemakers. And in one way, they're trying to gin up more growth in a place that has a lot of growth potential because, and I understand, and admittedly, it is a relatively small league at this point, but there's a lot of room to grow. Whereas I feel like with baseball in particular, and this is something that's been lamented, you do wonder, like, what is the growth potential? Are the people that are in on baseball simply going to be there regardless, right? I don't necessarily have an answer for that, but that is a thought that came to mind for me.
Can I ask a question about that? And I'm curious, this is for all of you guys. I do agree with the growth potential, and I think you're about to see that in the next TV deal. At what point would you get to the point where you're like, the growth potential is not there now, and I don't think it's ever going to be there? Here's the reason why I asked that question. I'm not saying that's the case here whatsoever. So when Adam Silver came out, we talked about this research, I don't know, a couple months ago, that the WNBA had never turned a profit, and they lost about $10 million a year annually. Now, the Washington Post has a story out there that says the WNBA is set to lose about $50 million this year, despite the fact that they're like, by all the metrics that y'all were just talking about, are going up, 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 obviously, cost of expansion and everything like that, both arena-wise and spending-wise and everything like that. Is that... I don't know. Is there a line that would ever be drawn, or do you think the NBA long ago decided that, like, this is a product that we want to have, that we feel like we need to have regardless of if it's profitable? Because Lord knows there's all kinds of companies out there that are not profitable that keep on going fine.
Reggie said something the other day that stuck with me for a minute now, and it was, these were boutique ideas, boutique businesses at first, and now
the vanity projects of sports.
Yeah, and now maybe real business people are going, hey, I can't get in the NFL, but can I own one of these teams and make it profitable? Can we turn this into something profitable? And this year, the way they've spent the money that they've spent on advertising, I don't know how much that is with their partnership. I don't know how that all works, but it doesn't look like it's turning a profit, but popularity looks like it's a different story than it's been in my entire life. So I don't know when that time comes, but it sounds like from Adam Silver talking about renegotiating the deals with the NBA and their TV rights deals. And he's like, look, it's better for the WNBA to be packaged with what we're doing rather than being a separate broken up entity.
Is that because it's better for the league, or is that because it's better to hide the failing financials?
I don't know.
That's my only question. Because if he like legitimately...
I'm not Adam Silver, Kevin.
Okay. Shave your head.
That probably won't make me Adam Silver.
That was my only question.
Yeah. It's like when ESPN Radio was here, the ticket had a lease on it, and it was just so they could do double advertising.
Yeah.
And then as soon as they stopped doing it, ESPN Radio went away in Dallas-Fort Worth because it was a losing product. Mm. And so I think that it's somewhat... The WNBA, I think, if they could ever become a very profitable organization, could not totally break away from the NBA. We could be like, we did it. Like, we created the WNBA that can exist on its own. But I think the NBA knows, like, we got to keep supporting this until hopefully it becomes a very profitable thing, or a profitable thing on its own.
Okay, you said that, and I understand in business, usually it comes down to profit. And then we get this text, and this is why I asked this question just a few minutes ago. From the 682, I'm dead serious about this question. It's about women's equality in general. The profit margin doesn't show the social cost of not having it. The $10 million loss is a well-spent tax deduction. And I guarantee you there are lots and lots of people who feel that same way. So then that was...
You love tax talk.
I do love tax talk. But that was my question. Is does it matter if the league eventually makes a profit, or if you keep growing and your losses get smaller and the social part of it you are able to put out into the world, is that good enough?
I don't know. That's a really good question, man. That's a really, I never thought about the tax part of it, Kevin.
We don't have to talk specifically about the taxes.
Well, I mean, we could get Chew on and really have a deep discussion about taxes.
It's just tough because it just goes back to, this isn't making money. It's not generating tons of fans at the gate. It is for Caitlin Clark. I'm not saying it's not. Caitlin Clark is selling out everywhere. And I honestly don't know the numbers
because
on...
Because she's an attraction.
Right.
Yes,
when Angel Reese goes to different stadiums, maybe they're selling out everywhere, but it's not being covered.
There have been some where you've seen an uptick when Angel Reese and the Chicago Sky pull in.
Yeah. Okay. But I'm looking at it going, wow, baseball doesn't get 1 second on these shows. And yet, like, why not cover what Wyatt Langford is doing? Why not cover what Jackson Churio is doing? Why not cover what Gunnar Henderson is doing in his second year? Why not cover how great, let's just do this, how great the Yankees and Dodgers are this year, and there could be a collision course for those two teams. But there isn't a show, I've looked this up, there is not a show anymore for baseball on ESPN. They do the Sunday ESPN night Sunday Night Baseball, and they get ready for that game. But there is no more baseball tonight on a nightly basis, or somewhat the way that they have. I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank on the Kendrick Perkins and Richard Jefferson.
NBA Today.
NBA Today, like at 3 p.m. ish or so. That there's no show on ESPN at 3 p.m. today going to get you ready for what's going on in baseball. That's all on MLB Network. ESPN has pushed away from that because they didn't want to. They've lost so much money. They're like, well, how do we cut? They're like, let's not pay any more former baseball players to analyze baseball on like a daily basis here. Let's just, our writers can come on and talk about what's going on. So they've decided like, we're pushing away from baseball. We're pushing into, not totally, but they are pushing like, hey, if we have extra time, push WNBA.
And I do think that that's also part of it that we can't ignore in it, as obviously we've kind of made this a juxtaposition, baseball versus WNBA, but ESPN is trying to get out of the baseball business, interestingly enough. And I don't know enough about why they are doing that, but that also gives some level of insight into what they're doing here. But yeah, being a part of the business, being a partner matters, because I always point back to hockey. There was a strong period of time where ESPN got out of the hockey business where you would be hard-pressed to find hockey highlights on ESPN, on SportsCenter. They got back in the hockey game, and hockey highlights were on the docket in a big way. And leading up to that, you had John Boutchegross, and you had all sorts of folks letting you know that, hey, man, hockey is here. And so in some ways, I think that that is also another thing about it, which is like the partnership aspect and the idea of trying to grow what it is that they are working with. that's clearly a big facet in it. I don't know why ESPN does not value baseball to that regard, though.
I think that on that front, too, I mean, baseball is sleeping around with everybody. You know, baseball is sleeping around with Apple TV. They're sleeping around with their Diamond
Sports. The NBA
Sports
does the same thing, though.
Don't worry about that right now. Okay. Kevin. The ESPN has $540 million a year committed to baseball. They're like, hey, where's ours back? That's neither. My question to you, though, is was there ever a sport that was pushed this way that became successful and we just didn't realize it at the time because we liked it? I mean, NFL highlights have always been there and NFL is going to be a king forever, but there was a lot of push and promotion and Jerry did a lot of help on that front too. I know there was more before right. that, but I mean, that was a huge king for them.
The one I came up with before the show started was when baseball went on strike and all of a sudden ESPN lost a lot of programming. They said, let's throw on a lot of World Series of Poker events. And that took off. People started watching it. We found out who in the world was good at poker yeah. in this world and who inside that small group of community, people knew who those people were. But then all of a sudden, we as a public were like, well, there's nothing else to watch. There's literally nothing else to watch. So let's watch the World Series of Poker. And that became a big deal. And now we see it more. It's not on ESPN, but.
Oh, yeah.
So that one, yeah, like, I don't. It's tough. World Series of Poker comes to mind. The tough thing about the WNBA is we have so much entertainment in our world today. It doesn't even have to be sports with all the different apps and all the different shows. And then baseball is happening right now. I'm not saying that baseball is the most popular sport in the world, but it is something you can watch tonight. I don't know. There's one WNBA game on tonight, but there's the College World Series. There's all these MLB baseball games that are going on. The draft is going to happen Wednesday. So for the WNBA, it has to at some point get what they want.
Yeah.
The way that they're pushing it is you need to be watching this and watching it on a nightly basis. And they're pushing that. I don't know. Maybe it'll work. Maybe if they just keep doing 15 to 20 minutes every morning on the hour of WNBA, maybe eventually they'll get enough people to buy tickets, to watch the games, to generate the revenue they need to generate.
A couple of things I go back to, Corey. I still think you were pretty spot on when you talked about the lower cost to invest in this and you still see the growth potential. Because like you said, I think about this in The Rock all the time, still trying to make spring football a thing. Where he's like, well, I can't just go buy the Minnesota Vikings. Actually, maybe he could. But, you know, like I can set up this league. I can own this league. I can be a part of this and hopefully it grows into something. It's the same thing with the WNBA. And then the other thing, I go back to this time and again. If people love the WNBA, you love going to games, you love getting the merchandise, you love watching it, I'm all for that. I just don't want to hear from people who are like, I'm there to be seen because it's important for me to be seen supporting this. I was like, if you love it and you support it, good. Go love it. Go support.
So, like, you're talking about, like Jack Nicholson?
Nicholson.
Nicholson. You don't want him to just be there sitting on the sidelines of games?
I don't know.
He did. People show up to these games and, like, they're there to be seen, too.
Yeah. Oh, and that happens here in Dallas all the time. I just think sometimes you get disingenuous arguments from people who think that's what they're supposed to say. If that's really what you believe and you really love the WNBA, well, then damn right. Yeah, go love it. Talk about all the metrics that are up.
There's people that have season tickets to the Frisco Rough Riders. There's people that love kind of a little bit of what would be a niche AA or
we talk about it with FC Dallas.
Yeah.
I love going to FC Dallas, and I understand where they sit on the world stage of soccer power.
I'll say this too, Reggie. I don't remember the last time I saw people arguing over who should be Rookie of the Year in the WNBA as much as I'm seeing it right now.
In a public context.
Yes. In a massive public context, too. And you're seeing it more than you've ever seen it. Some people are interested in it. They're arguing and disputing it. They're having discussions about it somewhere. And it's in a big place on Twitter right now.
Are they doing it for the right reasons?
I don't know what the right reasons
are. And sometimes you wonder what do the right reasons even matter in these circumstances, because it's you cannot deny, not even it's hard to deny. It's impossible to deny that the WNBA has also become a proxy war in a lot of these things, which then makes it polarizing, which then I think again incentivizes a TV situation to be like, look, It's getting to people going no matter what reason why. And so we're going to put that in front.
Look, we talk about this all the time. Not everybody who watches the Cowboys game is because they love the Cowboys. Like,
what?
I know. I realize it's not exactly
the same.
Some
people hate them, yeah.
But let's not pretend like some people didn't watch that Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese game, not because they cared about the game, but because they cared about the particular outcome of one specific player or their team, and then their player could claim victory to that, and then all of a sudden, like, I even think, I don't remember who the player was, and I'm sorry if we're going too far into this, and we can bail on this part of the conversation, but somebody asked Caitlin Clark about, like, hey, what do you think about the fact that some people are, like, pumping you up as a representative of X, Y, and Z, and she's like, I'm honestly just trying to play basketball and make sure our team gets better. There's another WNBA player who's like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to agree with that. I'm not going to take a blind eye to racism and sexism. And I was like, man, even Caitlin Clark was trying to give the right, like, Republicans buy sneakers too. And another player is like, BS. If you don't speak out about it, you're part of the problem. And I'm sure Caitlin Clark, I don't know her personally. I could see how Caitlin Clark might be like, hey, our team is really terrible and we're just trying to make them better.
Mm.
And people are like, no, you have to have an opinion on this. Whether you do or not. She's like, they're like, you have to.
Or else.
Yeah.
And what is else, by the way? Is or else.
And then from the 817, who cares?
Exactly. That's what I thought.
A lot of people. Oh. Because there is a, not shocking. I was going to say shocking.
No, you're going to say
really shocking. No. I was going to say shocking. There is a ton of feedback. And to Reggie's point, people care one way or another. Whether you care because you want it to succeed or fail or whatever, people seem to care about this a lot.
And y'all have a choice. Here's what was my choice. This morning, I thought of it as, hey, maybe we should be talking about this because it's on a national stage. Here's the other thing I did. I immediately changed it to channel 213 on DirecTV and started watching baseball.
Sure.
And I was like, I can watch what I care to watch. I don't care about the WNBA. I'll never care about it. But I noticed that, man, every time I'm turning on these ESPN channels in the morning, they are putting it on as like something happened in the WNBA. And I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to go to sports that I care about. And that's your choice. Or you can stick on it and be like, I care about the WNBA. I'm going to watch this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Man, a lot of feedback there. Trying to respond to some people. Appreciate it very much. And now, I guess, sorry we ate up a bunch of that time. A truncated version of Mike Likes It.
Okay, so you said you ate up a bunch of my time. How about this? I found, if you are on YouTube or Twitch right now, I found one of my favorite snacks now in the whole wide world to replace me eating candy.
Okay.
And I was at Trader Joe's. Obviously, I had to make sure I was north of the Trinity River to go to Trader Joe's. There's one close to where we do our show at. And my wife needed me to go to Trader Joe's Friday to get a couple things. My kids love their orange chicken there and stuff so that they can cook this during summertime for lunch or whatever to eat something. So I end up getting these Trader Joe's dried fruit, soft and juicy mandarin snacks. So if you're on YouTube or Twitch, you can see it. Obviously, there's no way I'm getting paid by Trader Joe's. I live south of the Trinity River.
Okay, Mike.
So I had these, and I wanted you to try these, okay? So the way I can describe this, Kevin, because I know you're a little bit nervous about it.
I am.
They taste very much like a fruit roll-up to me. So if you liked fruit roll-ups as a kid, I'm going to hand you this piece of mandarin orange that's dried and candied. And then can you hand this over to Corey? He's going to want the whole thing because he's going to eat. He's not going to make it. He went to Brian Adams, not Duncanville. So
God, man. How long do you hold someone's high school against them in future endeavors?
They don't catch the ball as well. So anyways, I wanted you guys to try this mandarin orange thing. And then Reggie's going
to come in to try it
and get some of this too. But this was awesome. Now, look, Starburst is going to taste better or whatever, but guess what? It's just pure sugar, and it's great. Starbursts are great. Skittles are great. But this is, like, a lot better for you, and I'm like, hey, I really like these. So,
I like fruits.
So, Corey, before we get to Kevin throwing up in his mouth,
are you okay over there?
It tastes like an off-brand fruit roll-up, kind of.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, and I'm sure that. Fruit roll-up.
You said
roll-up. Starburst. I instantly get that like a juice. What's it called? Whenever your mouth wells up with
salivate.
Thank you very much, Kevin, for the words. You said Starburst. I get it. But what I'm not doing is I'm not chewing for 6 hours trying to get that thing done with. So, you know, like it feels like I'm eating a piece. These are good, man. Mandarin, dried mandarin.
It's candied though. So there is like a little bit of additional sugar involved.
Yeah, I did not dislike this product at all.
Good. So it is the ingredients. Mandarin orange segments. So obviously slices. Then you have sugar and then sulfur dioxide. For freshness, it says. So I guess to keep it from rotting, because it is still fruit that they've done something to it. But I was like, hey, I will give a little bit of a shout out here. I do love Trader Joe's. I just wish they were in my neighborhood. I was like, man, I've never had this product before. And I thought it was a heck of a substitute for candy. It's not perfect for you. Obviously, I just told you there's three ingredients. The second ingredient is sugar. But I was like, man, this is much better than I thought it would be.
Mike from the 806, you need to try the mango one, Mike. That one is so good. Well, guess what, guys? Mike Bassick is right here in the studio.
All right, tell them guess what, because I brought two. I brought your green mango.
I did not expect that to happen.
And then I brought your chili spiced mango. I won't open up the chili spiced mango because I'm pretty sure Kevin would be like, no, thank you.
I'll pass on that.
So this one chili spiced mango before. I do like this one a lot. There's a little bit of grittiness to this. Like, but I am going to give you
real first one in, last one out.
Yeah.
This is a piece of green mango. And you can give this one across the board to Corey there.
All right.
You get the big piece.
I'll take the big one.
I like the mandarin better, but this, did you drop it?
He dropped
it. It wasn't a great throw.
All right. So, but I do have this green mango, which is also Trader Joe's sweetened green mango fruit there. So I can tell it's going to be a little bit grittier, and I can tell that we're not a fan, right, Kevin?
Nope.
I love it, dude. I love
Kevin,
mango.
Do you typically
though.
Like mango?
I love the flavor of mango and always have.
Not really. Sorry, Mike. Okay. I liked the first
one.
Just
the orange, bad person.
Orange you like.
Oh my gosh.
The mango, you're terrible, no good. Bro.
I did not care for this one. I'm sorry.
This one is softer. This one is a little bit more chewier. I haven't had this yet, so I won't
Whenever
try.
You're ready to crack them, I'm
We're out
ready
of time, but maybe coming back, we'll talk about in the C block.
That's
if
what
you like
do.
The chili spice mango, which is these are going to be a little bit thicker.
For the KNC masterpiece,
they are.
Man,
in my
what
hand.
A crazy segment that turned out to be.
Was
that
it?
That is.
Yes, it was.
That was very entertaining and strange.
We opened up your palate to one other thing in your life besides rolls.
We did it.
Oh my God. Look at Mike forcing mangoes down Kevin's throat.
Classic ESPN Mike.
Ginger, but maybe we'll do that at break. We didn't
ginger,
have enough time.
That ginger ones are good.
And that is the power of the expressway. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
We'll talk about the thicker ones in Mike's hand coming up in the C Block, but also
what the hell?
The Mike McCarthy thing, man. What's going on there? And
he's the best.
Michael Phelps audio that you're going to love. Next in the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.